Praise the Lord. You know, even though Jesus is here, Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Did you know that? He's coming soon. We got to be ready. It could happen at any time. Jesus is coming. We need to have our hearts and our lives in order, because one of these days, soon, it could even happen before we're out of this service this morning, we may hear someone say, "Come up hither." It's going to be an awesome time, huh? It'll be so quick you won't even have time to think. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name again this morning. Lord, we love you. We praise you, Father. We glorify you. And we commit this morning into your hands, Lord. And we would ask that your Holy Spirit power would move through each one of us and unite us as the body of Christ, Father. And that your word will touch and challenge our lives, Father, to be people of God. That when we leave this place, that church doesn't just stop here, but our lives begin to be used for your glory once we leave these four walls, Father. So we commit this morning to you. We ask your anointing upon the rest of the service, and we praise you, we love you, and we thank you. And Lord, let it speak to the hearts that it's meant to speak to, especially today, Father, that it will be an encouragement and help in our daily walk with you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Where are the altars? Where are the altars? That's the title of my message here today. And see, an altar is a structure used for sacrifices, offerings, and worship. And in Christianity, it's a place to meet God. It's a place to meet God. The altar has always been a special place. It was where we went to meet with the Lord. In the Old Testament, it was on the altar that man sacrificed animals to God for his sins. And since Jesus came, it was the perfect one-time sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. The altar is now a place where man comes to spend time in prayer to God. I was just thinking about that too, back when the altars in the Old Testament time. Can you imagine today what PETA and some of these organizations would try to do if there were sacrifices to God? There'd be riots out there, sacrificing animals. But literally hundreds of thousands of animals were sacrificed for coming to God, presenting the sins of the people before God. But of course, today we don't have to go to an altar and pray, do we? We really don't. But there's something special about having a place to go and talk to the Lord. I know when we were brand new Christians and got saved in a little church very much like this here one, a small congregation, they had an altar in the front. And one of the things that was utilized in that little church was an altar. People used the altar. Young and old alike would come up and they would bow or stand or whatever they wanted to do. But they would come to an altar and they would weep and they would cry and they would pour out their hearts before Almighty God. So altars can still be in use. Amen? See, the altar of God is no longer a stationary object. See, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit and our hearts are the altar. But it's still nice to have that tangible place where we can come and meet God with. There's something about it. That's why when we do prayer meetings once a month, we'll increase that. But right now, I put a chair out here for people to sit on when we pray. I do that for a reason. The chair doesn't have any power, but it's a point of contact where it activates your faith. When you sit in that chair, that's where you're meeting God right there. It's a form of an altar that we put there. That's why we do it. The chair has absolutely no power. It's God. Amen. It's God. Psalms 84, verses 1 through 3. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And I like this. You listen to this man's heart as he cries out to the Lord. O Lord of hosts, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. That's David crying out to the Lord there. David was writing in the Psalms as a word of adoration for the house of God is what he was doing. But I like the way he cried out to God. He said in Psalms 84:10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Praise the Lord. But one thing he specifically points out in verse 3 is the altars. The altars. He says again, and I'll read it again, yea, the sparrow has found a house and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Before I go on, too, I was reading a devotion this morning, and I thought, and I want to encourage people in here today, too, because, you know, Crossfire Assembly is a church where we're going to preach the Word of God to the best of my ability with God's help, and we're going to be a church of the Word. We're going to live according to the Word of God. And as each and every one of us do that individually within our homes and our personal lives too, I can guarantee you, again, I want to encourage you, that you are going to be under attack even more than ever. Spiritually, you will come under attack in your home, your marriage, your finances, your health. When you desire to live for Jesus the best of your ability and you make decisions that will help you to be a man or woman of God or a home that lives for Jesus Christ, the fire will be turned up. And the dangerous part of this, people, as I want you to be aware of, is that when that happens, Satan will do his best to discourage you and help and make you want to turn away from it, because you'll say, the fire's too hot, the trouble's too hard. And when, as soon as you walk away from it, things ease up, the devil lets up. And many Christians have walked away from God because of that, trials and tribulations that they strive to draw close to the Lord. You have to remember, when you see the fire turning up in your life and issues coming against your life, you need to get on your knees before God and work through. Don't walk away. Don't cool down, because that's what the enemy wants us to do. He's been doing it a long time, and he knows how to discourage the church. And we need to always keep that in mind, that if you got issues and problems, we have an altar. I thought I'd segue back into it that way. So why would he say this about the altar? You know why? Because it was a place of refuge and peace. That's why. A refuge of peace. Even though many modern churches don't install actual altars today, and in the last few decades, even today, many, many churches across our land have taken altars out. A lot of the big megachurches don't even have altars anymore. And a lot of churches, even smaller ones, have taken the altars away and they no longer have it. And now people just stay in their pews, their chairs, whatever you want to call them out there, and the altars are no longer used. I mean, I understand that, but I think it was a bad decision personally. Because you know why? I believe there's people that sit in chairs just like you today across this land and in pews that come to churches and they sit there and they never are able to open up their hearts and lives to Almighty God because they're not challenged, because they're able to hide back in their chairs. They're able to hide back in their pews, and the Holy Spirit doesn't deal with them because there's no accountability either. They sit there in their sin and their pain and their heartache, and nobody knows it but them, because nobody's challenged them to come to an old-fashioned altar where they can be prayed for. And that's what we have altars for. That's what we have them for. We don't need to come to an altar naturally because of Jesus, but that's what we use the altars for within the church. And we should always remember that. I tell you what, I tell you, when we used to come to an altar, especially as young Christians, the greatest thing is when we come to an altar and be able to confess our sins, or to say, I have a need, and the people would surround us and pray with us and agree with us. It would give us strength. It would motivate us to know that there's other people praying for us. But if you're sitting in a pew and you're going through a deep struggle in your life and nobody knows it, you're all by yourself. You're all by yourself. And sure, you can pray to Jesus sitting in your chair all by yourself. But there's something that God does with a fellow believer that comes along and puts their arm around you or their hand on you and says, I want to pray with you and agree with you in prayer. There's something about an altar that you can't bypass. Some even use, I mean, this would be our altar right here. Carpet and wood. That would be our altar. Nothing fancy. God doesn't expect anything fancy. We just come to an altar. There's many altars in the Old Testament, many types of altars and everything, used in many different ways, made of many different things. But today, we just simply have It can even be a communion table. Some churches use a communion table as an altar. But irregardless where it is, there's great power to be found in the altar. Not the altar itself, but what happens when you come to an altar is what happens. When we bring our needs to the altar, when we sacrifice our selfish ambitions, our pride, our possessions, and anything else that we would hold on to at a place designated for prayer and repentance and sacrifice, the Holy Spirit is drawn to that place. When we come forward to an altar and we surrender more of our life, the Holy Spirit is at that altar helping us, strengthening us, encouraging us. And nothing is more important in the church than the altar. I believe that. That's why when I call people forward to come forward to our altar, there's something that activates our faith, isn't there? It gives you something that God is there. Even though he's with you in your chair, there's something that happens when we corporately or individually can come to an old-fashioned altar. Not pews, not pulpits, not chairs, not benches, not pianos and so forth, but an altar, an actual altar. The most beautiful and most run-down church buildings in the world are totally ineffective without a place to make an altar. It's at the altar, people. It's at the altar where slobbering drunks lay down their bottles. I've watched it literally happen. You know, some of the greatest testimonies that I've ever heard in my life, especially being with Teen Challenge a lot of years too, and even in other places, and even when I was over in the Ukraine working, I watched slobbering drunks, literally drunk, wobbling down to the altar, get saved and delivered right on the spot like that. I mean, instantaneously, God sobered them up, and he delivered them and saved them right in front of our eyes. It wasn't us, but it was God. But that something that drew those men to those altars that gave their hearts to Jesus. It's an incredible sight to see the power of God at work, and that's why I love an old-fashioned altar. It's where the drug addictions are broken. It's where adulterers are purified. It's where child molesters are born again. It's where families are restored. It's where the suicidal find peace of mind. The spiritually bound are set free. The sick are healed and financial miracles come forth and churches are revived. That's why we want to encourage people in this church, in Crossfire Assembly, become people of prayer. Pray for this church. Pray for this church. If you don't want a great church, it won't be a great church if you don't come to God in prayer. If you want a great church, you need to come to an altar and lift it up and say, God, have your hand upon this place and watch what God does. It's not for any man's glory in here. I seek no glory to make a big mega church myself. I don't care about that. I only care about people getting saved, born again, healed, delivered, and set free from sin. And what happens on the side of that is up to the Lord. That's what we're about here, amen? And that's why I want you to encourage that we pray together as the body of Christ. In the Bible, there were two purposes for the altar. Number one, the first one, to give an offering to God. There were various offerings lifted up to the Lord, especially in the Old Testament. We had the burnt offering, the drink offering, the freewill offering, the heave offering, the meal offering, the sin offering, the thanksgiving offering. There's all types of offerings back then. They were presented at or around the altar of God. Did you hear that, people? They were presented. The offerings were presented at the altar. At the altar. The purpose was to get God's approval or favor over their lives or their work that they were doing. See, if we don't have God's favor over our lives, we're going to be lost or in trouble, I believe. How many want the favor of God in your life? There's nothing greater than having the favor of God on your life when you go out into your world, into your job, or in your home, or in the grocery, wherever you're going. If you have the favor of God upon you, you see God supernaturally doing things in your life you never thought would ever happen. Amen. That's a favor of God. And that's what these people were doing back then, giving offerings to God. Number two, to give a sacrifice to God. And at the altar of God, they would bring a sacrifice for atonement from sin. The people were required to give their best offerings to the Lord so their sins could be rolled back from them or covered. But look at here now in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's us. When we come to an altar, we present our bodies a living, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Amen. A living sacrifice. Some people want to crawl off the altar. But I tell you what, we come before God and present Him a living sacrifice that He can move in and form into His like. That's what He wants to do within us. I just listened to Russ Taft on a testimonial yesterday, and it was a very moving one, how God, where he started out as a young man and how God had favor on his music and everything, and how he was struggling through many things in his life, and he got caught up in the, I believe he said drugs or medications or something for depression, and a lot of things were happening within his life, and he didn't understand it. He said he would come up in the up on the platform, and he'd sing, and the thing he was singing about, he said, I didn't even believe it. Because he was hurting so bad with inside. But you know something? He said as he grew older and as saints would come into his life and he would be prayed for, when he would be prayed for and encouraged by the body of Christ, he learned and he finally came to a realization that God was doing a work in his life and molding him and forming him into the man of God that he wanted him to be, to the point where he was delivered from the depression and delivered from all the heartache and the pain that he carried for through most of his life. And God brought him to where he is today. And as he sat there, he wept as he poured out his heart, how God is moving. And it happens at an altar. It happens at an altar. That's where God changes you and I, when we come with our hearts open to Him. See, there were some people in the Bible who believed in the altar. Noah, after getting off the ark. Abraham, after dividing the land with Lot. Isaac, while headed toward Gerar because of the famine that was transpiring. Jacob, after meeting with Esau and discovering the power of forgiveness. Moses, after the Israelites were attacked by an enemy for the first time since leaving Egypt. Joshua, after crossing the Jordan. Gideon, after receiving the call of God to lead an army against the Midianites. Samuel, while judging Israel. Elijah, while on Mount Carmel. David, after committing the sin of numbering Israel. Manasseh, after humbling before God and turning away from wickedness while in Babylon. Peter, after denying Jesus three times, Jesus in Gethsemane, and the 120 at Pentecost. They all went and met with God. They all met with God in the most critical times of their lives. Do you have a critical time in your life where you need to come to an altar? Where you need to cry out to God and say, I need help, God, I need touch, I need your direction, I need a sense of your presence and your power in my life. Many times these people, they built altars before God to come to Him, to meet with Him. And in the New Testament, they were meeting with God. A place to meet with God was an altar. See, if the altar was good and important enough for all of them, surely it must be for us too. Now, I know people question, if the altar's so great, what is it that makes folks so afraid to come to Him? Did you know that? People are afraid to come to the altar. After all, like I said, physically, it's just some, that's all it is. It's wooden carpet. That's all it is. Repentance grows from good altars. Did you know that? America suffers for we have not built personal altars to bear our souls before God any longer. Amen. That's why America is suffering today. That's why America is in the trouble it is in today, because we've left the altars. We don't meet with God anymore. We think we meet with God by just coming in a church building and sitting in a chair and hearing a 15-minute sermon and they're gone. Amen. But there's no altar in call in their heart. There's nothing challenging them. I heard a lady, a pastor the other day said he had a lady call her up from the church that she's going to. She said, I love my church. I go there and the pastor preaches for 15 minutes and we're out of there. And that pastor said, he said, man, 15 minutes. He said, I haven't even hardly got started. He said, I preach for at least 45 minutes or more. And then I give an altar call. And I thought, that's my kind of a pastor. That's the kind of pastor I was raised with. But I guess if you don't have nothing to say, 15 minutes is good enough. Isn't it? Because it isn't good if it's not from the Word of God. I don't know who said this, but he said, prayer in America is likened unto a spare tire in our cars. We only get it out and use it when we have a flat. Boy, there's truth in that one. But today I ponder the value of building personal altars and dwelling upon them each step of the way of life's journey. All along our life, we need to remember to come to an altar. Whether it's in our home or within a corporate setting like this, we should have a place where we meet with God. Amen. Where we meet with God through life's journey. Because people, I don't care how old we get, all the way we have to fight the good fight right up to the end, no matter how old we get. You got to fight right to the end. The enemy isn't giving up, and he knows it, and God knows it too. And we need to come to altars, and we need to seek God. We need to meet with him in the church, in the home, in the car, at the office, wherever. We need a place where we can meet with God if we're going to make it through this world and stay true to God. Or are we going to tail and run out? Because a lot of people do that today. Many have left the church because it just got too hard. See, you can worry or you can build an altar. It's up to you. I'd prefer to come before the Lord before an altar and cry out to him. Or just sit in my chair and worry about it. Oh, man. And we have this awesome, beautiful, wonderful, all-knowing, all-powerful God. It's all we got to do is come to an altar. And give him the problem, give him this issues of life, and let him do a work within our lives. And then we can praise him and glorify him like David did. Because he's there. He's willing to help and to guide and to seek. And many people miss that in life because they want to be God themselves. They want to try to make their own thing work. And they miss coming to an altar and seeking the God who has the power, the capability, and the ways to do it. And they'll try to do it on themselves. And I call that playing God in your own life. And many people are discouraged because we can't be God. Only God can be God. Praise the Lord. See, great men in the Bible built altars to worship, to repent, to pray, to give praise and offerings unto the Lord. It says in Genesis 8:20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. I like that. Building altars can have a return far down the road. You may not experience something here, but I tell you, God is doing something at an old-fashioned altar. I honestly believe that those that really love God build altars. I really do. Those that truly love God have a place where they meet with God. And so many people are missing the awesomeness of God by not having a place to meet with him. Altars don't have to be cut and polished. Did you know that? They don't have to be cut and polished. And God never wanted fine altars of great worth. You'll find that in the Old Testament too. Many of them were built out of rocks and wood and different things like that. And by the way, we don't worship altars. Did you know that? We don't worship altars. Altars are simply a place to meet God at. That's all they are. But there's something coming to an altar that triggers your faith. There's something, it's a point of contact, a meeting with God. If you have a place in your home set aside where every day that this is where I meet with God, this is where I open the Word of God, there's something about that place, isn't there? There's something about it. I've heard testimonies even of great men of God that have lived for the Lord for many times, for years of their life, and they've went into their homes and they've gone into a certain room and they could just sense the presence of God in this room because that's where that man met in with God and prayed and sought and wept before God every day of his life. Amen. That's what happens. Altars are tools to come to God, a place to visit, to come with an attitude of love and respect. Today we've lost our fear of the altar. And this is not a fear of being afraid, but a fear of a respect and awe, of respecting and having an awe of God, of coming before Him. We no longer respect the Lord many ways in how we even live our Christian lives. We insult Him many ways because of our pride and arrogance. And we have to come to an altar with a humble heart and bow down before that God and ask for forgiveness and repent and turn our lives totally over to Him. We have too few homes with altars. We scream about that kids can't pray in school anymore and that no Ten Commandments can hang in our schools or in public buildings. But are there altars in our homes? Are the Ten Commandments posted in our homes? We got to ask ourselves these things. See, there's a song titled, "If I Could Hear My Mother Pray Again." Today, many kids have never heard an earnest prayer prayed by their mother or father. They haven't. They've never heard it. It's more than at school or on the wall, more than that they are engraved in your child's heart. That's where the child should have it engraved in their heart, to see mom and dad at an old-fashioned altar. How can you honestly keep what you don't even know? Where is your altar? At church or where is your altar? You got to ask yourself, if you're sitting here right now, if you haven't had a place where you meet with God, where is that place? Where is that altar in your home? Where do you meet with God every day? We need to ask that. I'm preaching to myself too, by the way, here. I'm no better than anybody else. There was a changed man, and his name was Abram. After a touch of God, he became Abraham. Abraham was changed and blessed because he built altars and he spent time on them. Abraham laid his vision, his precious only son, on the altar. Can you imagine the love and the devotion that man had for God? Often Abraham built an altar at crisis point in his family's life. And when you and I have crisis times in our life, we need to be on our knees. We need to be before God, before an old-fashioned altar, if you want to say, and meet with Him and cry out to God with these things in our lives. There's so many different problems in people's lives today, it's unbelievable. Not that that's any different than way back then, but we're living today. And ours may be a little bit different and challenged different ways, but we still need to come and meet with God, don't we? We do. We need to come. Listen to these here. I'm just going to read off just a few of these about Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 7. "And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." That's the first thing Abraham did. Genesis 12, 8, "And he removed thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called on the name of the Lord." That's the first thing Abraham was doing. He's a good man to follow, a good pattern to follow through Scripture, isn't it? Some people say the Old Testament's gone away with. No, it's not. God is showing us what a man of God did way back in the Old Testament that kept a relationship with Him and overcome the terrible things and the hardships and the good things of life was at an old-fashioned altar that he built. Genesis 13, "Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord." Genesis 13, 4, "Onto the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord, and Lot also which went with Abraham had flocks and herds and tents." Genesis 22, 9, "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood." Can you imagine that? The trust that Abraham had in the Heavenly Father. But see, he's been at the altar so many times, he knew God. And I like it when you get up to Genesis 26 and 25. This is Isaac. And he builded an altar there. Do you see the influence that Abraham had on him? That he did? He builded an altar and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. There's some of us in here, we need to get come before that altar, and we need to, or if we don't have one, we need to build one. We need to call upon the name of God. We need to call upon the name of Jesus in our circumstance. We need to call upon the name of Jesus on behalf of our loved ones. We need to call upon the Lord on behalf of people at work. We need to call upon the Lord on difficult upon different situations. He's there waiting constantly because he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So our Heavenly Father is always willing to be at an altar, our heart ready to speak to him, to meet with him. He's ready to answer and to help. See, we also find that Lot visited his uncle Abraham's altar, but this is interesting. There's no record that Lot ever built his own altar. Isn't that amazing? You won't find it. Lot is recorded visiting Abraham, his uncle's altars. For Abraham built altars everywhere he dwelled and even a few places he visited. Abraham built them, not Lot. Lot is never recorded as building his own altar. Why? We find Lot in trouble several times, or I could have said lots of times. Just a little play on words there. See, that a praying uncle, Abraham, went to rescue a man satisfied to visit another's altar. Lot didn't want to take time to build an altar to Almighty God. He wanted somebody else to do it. And that's what happens even in the church today. Somebody wants somebody else to do it. They don't want to come and build or get up out of their pew and come to the altar. They want somebody to come to them. And we need to build that altar even in our hearts and come before God in a church like this. It takes work. It takes work. And that's what Lot did. Lot's father, did you hear this? Lot fathers his own grandchildren, yet there's no record of him building an altar. Abraham's altars influenced Lot and many generations to come. What is the price tag of having the altars? You got to ask yourself, what is the price tag of just public altars? Seems like what you love, you will put on a pedestal, right? In the middle of your home, I will find displayed what is important to you if I visited your home. I would find what's important to you. Up high where it's visible from all around, we will not find an altar, but we find TV sets today. Isn't that truth? Got the nice brackets. I got some on my wall too, by the way. I'm not trying to be hypocritical here. I've got that hung TV on a wall too. But if they become an altar, I'm in trouble. One preacher calls it hellavision. See, what you love, you will find time for. Show me where you spend your time, and I'll show you what is important and your prayer value is. Where are the altars of the Most High in your home or in your life? The TV is a type of altar where we worship self and materialism. Show me where the kids spend their time. Show me where mom and dad goes all the time. Is your altar a bass boat? Is it your job? Is it travel? Is it your family? Show me what is your altar and I will show you where your value is. We got to all ask ourselves that, don't we? In a home especially, I think it's vitally important for young children in a home and grandchildren to see moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas that are having a place where they meet in their home before Almighty God. And I'm not talking about just little children either. I'm talking about adult children. They need to see mom and dad, they grandpa and grandma, great-grandpa and grandmas today. People are living longer. Having a meeting place in a home, an altar where they come together as family and they pray before Almighty God. You know something? What would change America if even God's people started to do more and more of that? There's so much division within the home amongst the generations even. It's unbelievable. But just think if we all had hearts and the first thing we did when something come against our home or our lives or somebody else in our family, that the first place we headed for was an altar in our home. How would that change our home and the people around us? Our altar is where we spend our time and we spend our talent and we spend our energy. I tell you, real fear I see developing it also is in the sports arena. Amen? Sports have become society's altar. Sports is fast becoming a worship place. Kids can't come to church because of some sports events. What are we teaching our kids when that happens? Parents will keep their kids out of church Wednesday nights if you have a Wednesday night service, Sunday mornings or whatever. If there's a sport thing related, they'll keep them out. What is that telling little Johnny and Susie? That's telling them what's more important in life. There was a time when communities knew better than to have sports on church nights. I remember those times. Yes, I am that old. I read where a Kentucky pastor dismisses church when Kentucky plays basketball. And this is why. This is what he said. The men will not come, and why should he have to miss it? He showed those men what was important. He'd been better off coming to church and standing behind the pulpit all by himself and let the Holy Spirit draw the people that were going to be there that night or that morning or that day or whatever. And today there are many churches that either dismiss church or they had big screen TVs in the sanctuary to watch the Super Bowl. Do you think God's proud of that? And they use the excuse, well, we can touch people that way. That's the excuse. But what are people worshiping when they're sitting in a church watching a big screen TV, watching the Super Bowl? You think they're worshiping God? You think they're at the altar saying, oh, Lord, praise the Lord? I don't. It'd be hard to. Maybe there might be some, I don't know, but it'd be pretty difficult, I think. Sports has become an altar where too many knees bow and voices scream. I tell you what, I'd like to say to those people, when you have crisis in your family, cry out to the sports. See if they can help you. See if they can help you through your trials of life. See, sexual perversion and unfaithfulness and sex out of marriage and pornography have become a lightning rod that demons ride into the Christian home. And where there is a God altar, can this mess really exist if you have a place where you meet with God in your home? Or do we allow that stuff to come into our home through the DVDs and the TVs and all this stuff? Satellite dishes and cable pull terrible sin right into our living rooms and our bedrooms. The good old VCR, of course, now it's the DVD, has become an altar in the Christian bedroom that bring demon spirits into the privacy of the inner heart. And fires are ignited and sin enters the camp and we have lost the joy of witnessing and prayer in our life. I've read in many of the evangelical Christian homes, there's pornography hidden in the house and dusty Bibles. Dirty lives, no altars to purge the heart of a home. Ask Joshua what hidden sin will do to God's people. We must tear down the foreign altars that are lightning rods to demonic activity and replace them with altars where God's people pray. People, those demons are real and they do come into homes and seducing spirits do take over homes. Whether you want to believe it or not, people sit and watch all this stuff that's coming up over the airwaves today is getting worse and worse and more open to the public, and it's coming, and many Christians are turning it on and trying to justify it in their hearts, their thoughts, and their minds, and even will travel and pay money to go watch it many times. And many times those are things that are opening your home to demonic activity within your home. And then you question and say, why am I having certain problems in my life? Because you don't have a meeting place, an altar with God, and so you allow sin to come in your home, and that permeates your home now rather than a prayer time. And those demons go to work and do what they're supposed to do. And we need to be aware of that. See, if we put garbage in the mind and the heart, basic garbage of the soul will foul the spirit man. And even music. Some music Christians listen to today. It's not right. Music is to be to praise God with. And we need to make judgments on what type of music we're listening to, what we're allowing into our spirit. And some of the most dangerous tools our enemy tears down altars with is this: anger, wrath, bitterness, unforgiveness. Did you hear that? These breed spirits and attitudes that destroy our love of the altar. Anger and bitterness become generators in our life. They are their own little power source that keep us from the altar. There's certain homes today that are so full of bitterness and anger, they don't go before an altar, before God, and seek it. And that bitterness and anger takes over, and they treat their husbands and their wives and their children terribly because their bitterness and anger is embedded within them, and they no longer seek God. But that bitterness and anger, the Satan allows to take over in our life, and we control our homes by those types of things. If you sense in your life that I've got this bitterness and I've got this anger and I just seem like I can't get rid of it, you need to build an altar in your home. You need to build an altar and come before God and say, God, take this from me. Help me to love my family. Help me to love people. Help me to love the way I'm supposed to, like Jesus does. And let him soften our hearts. Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembrance that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And many times you come into church circumstances and you have Christians backbiting and criticizing and tearing each other apart. And not only within the church, but within the home. Husbands and wives are beating each other up before they even get to church. And then they'll come and try to bring a gift before Almighty God. Matthew 5, 23, 24. God can't even accept our worship, people. He can't even accept it. He says it right here. And many of us allow that to come into our lives because we haven't built an altar within our home, a place to meet with God. When we see this, we can't even offer gifts on the altar. Many keep coming to the altar with polluted gifts, and we don't even know it, but one day we will. And we need to get rid of those polluted gifts and do what God said to do. Abraham continually built altars. Wherever he would go, if he moved from this place to that place, first thing he did is he built an altar and called upon God. See, a poor relationship at the altar becomes a self-feeding cancer that grows and eats the good, healthy cells at the cost of the host. We would call this parasite, sucking the effectiveness of the altar and leaving sick and weakly and lifeless Christianity. And that's what we see in many churches today. We must consider the altars and evaluate. And the only way to alter or change our life is at the altar. If you need something changed in your life, you need to come to an altar in your home, corporately or whatever, a place where you meet with God. See, counseling can't do it. And Russ Taft, what I spoke of earlier, he said this too. He says counseling can't do it. Nobody could help him. Only Jesus. Wisdom alone can't do it. You must return to the altar, a place to meet with God. Here's a transcript, and I'll close here, of an actual radio conversation between a U.S., you may have heard it already, but I'll read it anyway, between a U.S. naval ship and the Canadian authorities off Newfoundland in 1995, authors unknown. It says, this transcript was released by the Chief of Naval Operations on October 10th, 1995. U.S. ship speaking, please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid collision. Canadian reply, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid collision. U.S. ship, this is the captain of a U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. Canadian reply, no, I say again, divert your course now 15 degrees. U.S. ship, This is the aircraft carrier USS Missouri. We are a large warship of the U.S. Navy. Divert your course now. Canadian reply. We are a lighthouse. You are headed for destruction and disaster. Your call, Captain. Let's all stand, please. I, like Abraham, I want to be more determined to build an altar within my home. And if you have multiple rooms in your home and you have things in your home that maybe are distracting you away from the things of God, and you're sitting there and you cry out and say, why do I have all these issues in my life, and why am I an unhappy person? Why are things not seeming to go? Maybe we need to look around our home and see, is there a place where we meet with God in this room? Oh, you may say, well, I have this room set aside here. That's okay, but if you know that there's another room in your house that has not been dedicated to things of God, it's not a room that you would be proud to show Jesus, then maybe you need to get the stuff out and build an altar. And let God permeate your home in every area through the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we need to do that. May the altar a place of sacrifice, be a place of sacrifice. Always be a reminder of the sacrifice that Christ made when he died for our sins. And may the altar be a place of prayer. Always to be a reminder that we are totally dependent upon God, people. Let that be a place like that. With every head bowed and eyes closed before God, just make that your place of an altar right now. Maybe there's somebody in here this morning and you haven't been coming and meeting with God regularly, and you've been trying everything in your own steam and your own power, and you've been discouraged or whatever, and you say, what's the use? So you've ignored God and you've not even used your heart as the altar of meeting with God, but you've even ignored praying. If there's anybody in here and say, I need to come to an altar right now, just raise your hand and say their sayings. Put them way up. Don't be ashamed, because, see, we're all human in here. And I see the hands going up, but there's people in here. See, be honest with the Holy Spirit. When you're honest with the Holy Spirit, God moves. I see those hands. God sees those hands, people. If you keep them down, I call it pride. And God hates pride. But I want you to just surrender that hand to God and say, Lord, I want to build that altar new in my heart. And now you put your hands down. And now also, is there anybody in here that Jesus died on a cross? He sacrificed his own life at an altar for our sins, for your and my sins. And the only way we get to go to heaven is by repenting and surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ because of what he did on that cross, shedding his own blood and giving his all. And there's somebody in here that says, I've never really done that, or I think I'm a Christian. Well, if you think you're a Christian, you're in a dangerous spot, because if you die and you don't go to heaven, it's too late. This could be your day, your opportunity to say, I need to come before an altar and surrender my life to Jesus. And everybody that Jesus called out, when you read Scripture, he called publicly. And you don't know for sure if you'd die, if you would go to heaven. And you don't know that. And if you walk out not even being sure, you can never say, I've never been told. But this may be your last opportunity before the rapture or before something happens to you. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not trying to put fear in you. It's a fact of life. Eternity's coming. Is there anybody in here right now that would say, I need to give my life to Jesus and I want to know that I'm eternally saved? Put your hand way up in the air. Is there anybody in here this morning? Is there anybody? I don't want to miss anybody if there are. Is there anybody in here, the Holy Spirit, and you're sitting there, you're nervous right now saying, that's me, I don't know for sure. But if you are not sure, you put your hand up, people, because you can know for sure before you leave this morning. Okay. Everyone that had your hand up, let's put our hands up as a symbol to our Lord that we want our altars rebuilt in our hearts and our homes and our lives. Those that had them up, put them way up, and let's right now come before you. Heavenly Father, we come before you. And Lord, some say, well, the altar's not in the New Testament. Yes, it is. I just read it out of Matthew, but it's also in Revelation. There's altars. The souls are in, under the altars in heaven right now. And Father, there you see each and every one of us. You see our hearts. You see the intent of our hearts. You see who's sincere and who isn't. And Lord, you're reading us. You're reading us right now, Lord. And you're saying, you know, and the ones that need to rebuild our altars where we meet with you on a daily basis. And we need to repent of things in our lives, in our homes, in our thoughts, and get rid of them. And Father, all of our hands that are up there, Lord, we ask you right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would do a work in every heart, every hand that's raised up, Lord, that you will renew us, our desire to live for you, to build those altars, to meet with you daily, to be examples to our children, to our loved ones, to our spouses. And Father, that we will come and treat one another with love and kindness, even in this corporate setting, Father, that we can come before an altar and worship you. Lord, do a new work in our lives, Father. Put that desire like David did, where he was just excited and challenged to come and to spend time with you. And Lord, I pray that over every person right now, that they will have that challenge within their heart to live for you in a new way, Father, of meeting with you daily. And so now, Lord, I pray also over every home and every life, Lord, that you will supernaturally do a work. Continue to allow the conviction of your Holy Spirit to help us to stay true to your word, to help us to live godly lives this week. And bless each home, Lord, every home in here that needs finances, every home in here that needs a new job, every home in here that needs healing within their own bodies, every person as a family member needs healing, Lord, we lift all those issues. Anybody in here that needs to be delivered from oppression, depression, Lord, we lift them all up in the name of Jesus and pray right now that the Holy Spirit will move supernaturally upon every life. Father, that this church can be a church for people to come and meet with you, Lord, and to go back into their homes knowing that you are with them and have that place, that altar where they can meet with you. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives today and will be doing in our lives, and help us to always be ready should you call, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Lord, bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus.